Blog Talk Radio.
Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit shall inspire the speaking and understanding of everything uttered here today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hi, this is Donald James Parker, and welcome to another episode of Wielding the Sword of the Spirit. I'm really excited to introduce my guest today. His name is Robbie Dillmore. Robbie, welcome.
I'm excited to be on with you on the other side of the mic for a change.
Yes. Robbie happens to be a radio host on the Truth Network. He and I met at NRB a few weeks ago. He interviewed me once there at NRB and then also had me on his show last week. And he's got a remarkable story and very similar to my own story. So, you know, I figured Robbie's always on the other side of the interview. It's time that somebody interviews him so we can find out the rest of the story about Robbie Dillmore. So I had him on here today. And Robbie, you want to tell us about your life-changing experience in the middle of the night?
I would love to. I've had lots of them, but the one I think you're referring to is I was the Chrysler dealer in Mocksville, North Carolina, and I'd been in the car business about 40 years, and one night, you know how you, when you get woke up, that you feel like, well, okay, I'm supposed to pray, and I'm asking God for understanding on what he wants to talk about tonight, and I had all kinds of things on my plate at the time that had to do with family and finances and things like that, and he said, Robbie, I want you to do a radio show, and I want you to talk about what breaks your heart every day, which he knew at the time that I, selling cars for a living, would see people every day that would come in that were in tremendous amounts of debt, slavery to debt, really, you know, $500-$600 a month car payments, and they were wanting to trade that car in for another car and to go further into debt, even a higher monthly payment for some new gadget or whatever it was, when the car that they were trading in was perfectly fine for a long period of time. And so God knew that broke my heart on a daily basis, and I would constantly counsel customers on the whole issue of, you know, isn't it better that we, you know, get this car paid out and let's make sure we get all the use out of it to get to the next one. And he wanted me to get on the radio and talk about that. He clearly showed me the logo for the Christian Car Guy show and gave me the format. And I felt like, in fact, I remember arguing with the Lord, have you heard my voice? Because, you know, the people on radio, they go to college to learn how to talk like that. And I don't have that kind of thing. And, you know, by the way, I get terrified of public speaking. And I don't even do my own commercials. So you don't really expect me to get on the radio. He expected that. That's exactly what he expected. But when I woke up the next morning, I was wondering, was this real? Did I really hear from God? Is this what he really wants? And I recalled a sermon that my pastor, Quartz, at Calvary Baptist Church, where I attend in Winston-Salem, had given, that said that if God has called you to do something, he'll swing the door open. When you see somebody saying they were called to preach, but they can't find a church to preach in, then chances are they weren't really called to preach. So I figured this was my fleece, my chance to get out of jail. And so I knew Stu Epperson with the Truth Radio Network. He had been in my Christian Businessmen's Committee, so I scheduled a lunch with him and felt like, well, I'll tell him about this idea that God's called me to do this Christian Car Guy show, and when he says that's a crazy idea, then I'll know I wasn't called to do it, and that's going to be my out. So we had lunch. I explained to him the prayer time that I had that night and what God had put on my heart. And when he looked up at me and said, Robbie, that's the best idea I've ever heard in my life. I'm so excited about having a redemptive show about cars. Can you do it this Saturday? And that's how the Christian Car Guy show came forth.
Okay, so that was when you got started.
Mm-hmm.
You did one show, but how did you translate that from a one-night stand, so to speak, to a career?
Well, I was actually expecting all sorts of things that first show that did not actually come to pass. I was expecting all kinds of help and that this was going to be something where we got a lot of callers calling in and that it would be a lot of things. I've learned about things like a clock that radio shows have to have and certain protocols that you find out about in radio, and found out I needed to do a lot of prep work every week before I did the show, which you're finding out about now. And interestingly, by like 6 months into it, Charles Stanley's group, who at the time had Sirius 161 Family Net Radio, heard the show, and they put me up on a satellite. And so within 5 or 6 months of the show going on the air, it went international. Actually, I was in Canada and Mexico, all the places, and getting calls from all over about cars, and it was obvious that that the show had met with great success. Well, I don't think you even know this part of the story, Donald, but about a year and a half into my doing the Christian Car Guy show, which was a Saturday thing, so to speak, Chrysler Financial came in to do an audit in my dealership, and when they got done, they popped into my offices and they said, gee, Robbie, you're showing about $300,000 more in the bank than you have. And I was like, what? And I called my office manager in there, and an hours investigations and my office manager going to prison and a lot of things later, it was obvious that it was actually over $1 million that was missing. And payroll taxes hadn't been paid, and we were forced to close the dealership in December of 2007. And, again, there was a bit of a divine intervention in that I was aware that I had to lock the doors on the dealership, and the attorneys had told me to do that kind of thing. And so I had come back to the store, and when I got there, Stu Epperson was leaning up against the wall, and he looked at me and he said, Robbie, you don't happen to know where I could find a sales manager for the Truth Network? And I went, oh, yeah, I do. I know exactly where you could find, because I'm fixing to have to close the dealership. And so that's how I made the transition from being a car dealer to full-time in broadcasting. And, of course, a lot of things happened along the way with helping other radio shows and being involved with other radio shows, including the radio show you're on, which is called Kingdom Pursuits. And so now I get to take part in a lot of different radio shows, but that's kind of how I went from being a car dealer to being full-time in radio.
So obviously going through that loss of your business was difficult to deal with. Did the fact that you felt that you'd been called to the radio, did that give you the courage to face that kind of thing? I mean, that's just a daunting challenge for someone to.
Yeah, it was an experience not just for me, but actually for my whole family. That, you know, we had a pretty rich lifestyle, and of course my kids were in very nice Christian schools, and we, you know, belonged to the city club, and we were all these different things because it came kind of with the trappings of being a car dealer. And, of course, my new role in ministry didn't have anywhere close to that, not even in the same world, as well as the financial burdens of having lost what we lost. So it was quite humbling, which was really good for me. I know in the end it's going to be good for my kids, but it was a tough thing because they were, my one daughter was a sophomore in high school, my son, it was his graduating year, and then I had a daughter who was in third grade, and all that transition had left all sorts of interesting marks on them because they weren't so ready to take on their new life as I was. And, of course, my wife has her struggles as well, being used to, you know, she'd never driven a car with more than 3,000 miles since we'd been together for 25 years. So it all was a bit different. And, but like you say, there was always a sense for me was if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then how lucky am I? And by the way, like you, because when you host radio shows and you get to be involved in Christian media, you get to see what God's doing in so many different ways. And it's so exciting. Almost every day I'm launched into something else that I see God doing, and I just see lives being changed and people set free and real life happening, not just financial life, so to speak.
Exactly. So did you meet a lot of interesting people at NRB?
Oh, yes, always. There was a... In fact, I've been doing interviews almost ever since just from those people. And some of the most fascinating things I've seen, there's a man I've spent a lot of time with just today called Let the Lion Roar. We're talking about how the Christian church is going to engage the Jewish faith, or engage the Jews essentially to come into the faith and bring the kingdom, so to speak. He's got a phenomenal documentary movie. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Donald. It's being
I have several friends that were part of that. Some of the people that were in my movies were in that movie also.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it, but that's true. And that is, have you had a chance to see it?
I have not yet.
But
I certainly want to. It looks like an interesting thing. Actually, the gal who was the director of it had interviewed me for a magazine that she worked with.
Yeah, Vanessa.
Vanessa Frank.
So, yeah. And then you got, that's one end of the spectrum. And then I don't know if you saw, there was some folks called around that walked around with BYOBB on their shirts, and it was Bring Your Own Bible, Baby.
Right.
And it was these folks bringing children in the media, and they're doing TV and film with young children in Christian media. And they were just, you know, wide open for the gospel. I had them on the show the other day, and really just everybody coming around the corner has a different story, some new angle that God's given them in ministry, and of course yours being one of those that really I was just thrilled to see how God had taken your life and sent you on this adventure that was so different from what you had may imagined 30 years ago.
I took a different route than you did. I had a very lucrative position, and I just kept my job, and I just quit working so much overtime on my job and wrote, you know, in the off hours. So it wasn't until I got to 62 that I decided, you know, God wants me full time, and so I just decided to retire early. I was never going to retire, but I'd do it for God.
Well, you've done some amazing stuff. And what a blessing they are, the films, the books. I was with a dear friend yesterday who has a ministry similar to you, to yours. In fact, they're doing a Christian movie right now, and as I was sharing with him what you guys had done, you could just see his eyes come alive, because the culture can be reached so well by these videos and these movies, because it's how people relate these days. And so to see your movie, you know, in Grant's shoes, where there's salt and light coming into a situation and change in the culture, is just, it's great stuff. And the neat thing is that there's people all over doing that kind of thing. And in doing so, bringing lots of folks, all the people that were in your movie that wanted to get in your movie, all feel like they're part of the adventure.
You've been broadcasting since 2006 or... Five?
Yes. Yeah, my first show was in March of 2006.
Okay. And you said you've had my friend Greg Robbins on your show several times.
Yes, I have. I've had Greg Robbins, you know, the Cristiano brothers. Certainly had Rich Cristiano on probably four or five times this year with his movie. I'm trying to think of the name.
Matter of Faith.
But we got involved with him clear back with The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. And then there was a movie, What If, that we were involved with him. They didn't do the movie, but they helped distribute the movie. And that was a really fun adventure.
Kevin Sorbo.
I had an opportunity. Yeah. And the young girl in the movie plays in the Disney Channel. And I interviewed her in one of my favorite interviews ever. I'm trying to remember her name. She does the show Jesse on the Disney Channel now. And near the end of the interview, I asked her, I said, you know, I can imagine as a young actress in Hollywood, there's all kinds of temptations that come your way. What could we pray for you about? And you could tell that emotionally that caught her in a really neat place. And she said, you know, nobody has ever asked me that. But what a great thing to do, because I have to tell you that, you know, there's all these new projects. And if you do this, you get involved in it. If you don't do this, you get involved. And there's so much temptation. And, well, I could really, really use your prayers. And it was just so neat to see somebody be so vulnerable that was in such a position. A young girl like that, and you know what happens to so many of the young Disney stars, that that we really don't have a concept of the temptation that comes their way, and what an honor to be asked to pray for that kind of thing was just really, really cool.
Amen. Well, I think I saw the other day you were asking about getting more guests on your show. I certainly have lots of references I could send your way if that's what you indeed are doing. I've built quite a network in the last, since it was 2006 that you went on the air. It was 2006 that God spoke to me about writing. And so in that 9 years, I've built quite a network of friends. It still astonishes me, but if you want some radio guests, I can certainly send some people your way.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun because with every new person, I keep, you know, between the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuits, I also do Disciple Magazine and the Masculine Journey radio show. So between all those shows, you know, it's 7 or 8 guests a week that I'm processing in some way or form. And so, you know, you do the math on that and you get a chance to see the extent how many guests, you know, that you got to find. But as God brings those folks to you, you get to see some amazing things, amazing stories, and sometimes they just literally, Donald, I just take my breath that I would ever be honored to share some part of this person's story. If you have time, I'd love to tell you about one that just, you know, was like on Robbie's all-time greatest list.
Absolutely. Go for it.
The Billy Graham Association had called me, and they said that they had a pastor from Vietnam coming, and they would really like to have him on what now is Kingdom Pursuits. At the time, it was actually called Robbie's Hobbies, keeping with my name. And so when he came in, little Vietnamese man, because, you know, he's probably 5'2" compared to 6'5", so he's, you know, it's, maybe I shouldn't say little, but in stature he was small, but believe me, this man was bigger than any man I ever met in my life. He had 3 interpreters with him, which I thought was a bit unusual, but as we got ready, as we were prepping for the show, I was astonished to find out between the 3 of them, they didn't really speak any English. So it was really a hard time trying to communicate with him, and certainly the pastor himself from Vietnam had no English whatsoever. And so I was at a bit of a loss at how to do the interview, and you understand that at a different level when you're trying to figure out the question to ask when you've got to go through 3 interpreters. So the only thing I knew to say was, well, the Billy Graham Association really wanted me to get you on the radio message. Do you want to share with America? Then the pastor said something in Vietnamese, and one of the translators says he wants to share that he's been in prison for Jesus. And I said, wow, he's been in prison in North Vietnam for Jesus. And I said, you know, when I think of prison in North Vietnam, I think of Rambo 3, you know, where Sylvester Stallone was down in the swamp and the leeches were on him and all that kind of stuff. And the pastor, in spite of the fact that he didn't understand the English, pointed at me and he goes, exactly. And I went, you're kidding. And then he said a lot of stuff in Vietnamese. And one of the interpreters says, yes, he was in a swamp with 3,000 other people for what I believe, as my memory tells me, like 5 years. And I said, you were in a swamp, 3,000 people for 5 years? For what? And it was simply for sharing the gospel, for talking about God, because God wasn't allowed in this culture at all. And I said, well, how do you sleep in a swamp standing up? What did you eat in the swamp? What was swimming in the swamp? Occasionally, they would bring you a cup of rice. And I was like, wow, this is unthinkable that anybody could live like this for this period of time in a swamp, that you could possibly live. I said, but, you know, God's allowed some things in my life, and it seems like any time that there's tremendous persecution or something like that, he gives you something really special. Pastor, what did he give you? And he said, he gave me, I believe it's the 89th Psalm. Is that the one, Donald, where it says, if you rest in the shadow of the Almighty? 91st Psalm. Yeah, he gave him the 91st Psalm. And when you read the 91st Psalm, so I immediately, when he said that, I pulled it up on my computer. If you read that psalm from the standpoint of you're standing in a swamp for 5 years, the pestilence that cries out at night, you see all the stuff that's in that psalm, it's almost mind-boggling that that's what he would say. And you could see that he was living within this psalm. And it was, you know, so one of my next questions was, well, Pastor, how did you ever get out? What happened that made them decide to cut you loose? Through the interpreters, they said, well, it was kind of good behavior. And I said, what do you mean good behavior? Well, he kept leading other people in the swamp to Christ, and they wanted to get him out of there because there were so many converts being made in the swamp. While all these other people were dying around, here's this one man who won't seem to die, but more than that, he's taking all these people to Christ. And as he said that, God gave me this picture, and I've never forgotten it, that I'm not terribly surprised, really, that God would sustain a pastor standing in a swamp for 5 years. But what blew me away and just brought me to tears, I got quite emotional on the air, was that all of a sudden I realized all those other people in the swamp, the 3,000, a lot of them may have raped somebody or killed somebody or stolen something. They may have well deserved to be in the swamp. But God sent them a pastor. God sent them the gospel in the most horrific, I can't even imagine the suffering place that there was God in the embodiment of this pastor who obviously had eaten the 91st Psalm. And wow, it's a story that just lives in me, and just realize what an amazing God we serve.
Amen. Are you familiar with Richard Wurmbrand?
No, I don't think I am.
I'm trying to think of the name of the book that he wrote. That he was a prisoner in a communist camp over in one of the Eastern European countries. Tortured for Christ, I believe it's called. It was just an amazing book. And then after I read that, I discovered that he had come to America, and several pastors had asked him to leave their church because they didn't want to hear his message. It was just totally sickening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you are part of the Truth Network, and what I find so fascinating, that's when I saw your guys' display there at NRB, I mean, I just latched onto it because I feel like God has called me to bring the truth to the world, because right now there is a lot of deception going on and things things that people are being taught in schools and everything else is totally fabricated. And there's just a battle for man's mind and for their hearts right now. And we have to just divulge the truth somehow. And, you know, people really don't want to hear it. People want to just have a happy life, to go after truth and to live it, demand sacrifice.
Yeah, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, one of the people on the Truth Network is one of my favorites, Michael Brown.
Yeah. That is a dear man. And I have had occasion, in fact, I'll tell you my favorite Michael Brown story.
Yep.
Is Dr. Brown has, it's called The Line of Fire on our network, and he's a Messianic Jew, and phenomenal study of the Word, and just has a grasp on things. Anyway, we were in a meet and greet with a bunch of, you know, folks that had come in that listened to our radio network and whatever, and they obviously probably want to meet Dr. Brown a lot more than they want to meet the Christian Car guy, but I was on the stage with him. And this listener says to Dr. Brown, kind of set him up, you know, what do you think of John MacArthur? And I don't know if you're familiar with that controversy. But
strange fire, yeah. I've followed the debate between him and Dr. MacArthur.
Yeah, so the question to Dr. Brown was, you know, how do you feel about John MacArthur, who wrote the book Strange Fire, which was sort of a, you know, a word that would have been against the type of thing that Dr. Brown stands for. And Dr. Brown wrote a rebuttal, you know, something, I can't remember the name of the title of Dr. Brown's book, to say about Strange Fire. But anyway, what Dr. Brown said was so beautiful. That's my favorite story, because when he said, you know, my show follows John MacArthur in the network that we're listening to, so I often get a chance to listen to John MacArthur right before, or Dr. MacArthur right before my show. And I feel like he's my friend, because I listen to what he says, and he's in the Word, and he's got this unbelievable insight into things. He said, but it's kind of like a giant symphony that, you know, you got the Baptists that are over there in the piccolo section, and you got the Lutherans that are over there in the cello section, and you got Pentecostals that are over there in the trumpet section. But, you know, if you had anybody missing out of that orchestra, there would be diminishment. We wouldn't have all the view of Christ, the many harmonies that would happen because of all the different people playing their music. He said, so that's how I really feel about Dr. MacArthur, is that what he sees in Christ is stuff that I don't see the same way, and so he gets to bring that harmony to the gospel. And I just found it, what a word of grace, when there was obviously an opportunity for him to defend his position, that was not where it went at all.
Wow. Yeah, his book's name is Authentic Fire, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire.
Yeah, but his heart is that of love for John, for Dr. MacArthur, and that was obvious to me as I watched it, and I was just like, man, that was one beautiful answer to a question that was, you know, trying to see if there was some controversy there that needed to be unearthed or something. But
I listened to a debate between Dr. Brown and one of MacArthur's associates, and you know, Dr. Brown is a brilliant man. It's hard for me to conceive that he was a drug addict. And when he was a kid, he was just a wild child, you know, and just a druggie and everything. And then God got a hold of him, and he became fluent in several Semitic languages, including Hebrew. So he is a scholar, and he's just so eloquent when he debates people that, you know, like you were talking about the graceful answer that he came up with, he's able to, you know, control himself. You know, I get involved in a debate like that, and I kind of get a little emotional, but he is so able just to keep his calm and just lovingly try to bring the truth to the topic. It's wonderful to listen to him.
Yeah,
What else does the Truth Network offer besides Dr. Brown and the Christian Car Guy?
Well, the other shows, the Kingdom Pursuit show is always wonderful. And then we have Disciple magazine with Cameron Horner, which is I hate to say him. He's a young Johnny Erickson Tata, but it's a similar story. He was paralyzed in a diving accident. To hear his testimony is, you know, earth changing. As he was underwater, you can imagine what it would be like having dove into a lake and sunk to the bottom with your neck broken and you've got no ability to move your arms and legs. You're probably going to drown. And what he describes happened to him as he was making that decision how to breathe, because, you know, at some point in time you got to breathe. And he said, I just surmised that I would breathe in water and it would be the end of me. But when I breathed, he breathed air. And they found him and got him up. And when he came up, he started quoting scripture. And due to his faith, and despite of being, you know, paralyzed and all that, people that heard the story started coming to Christ from around the world. It launched him into Cameron Horner Ministries, where he does this Joy in the Midst thing with us. But he's just another person with a precious faith and a precious ability to fear what God has done in his life, in spite of the fact that he's in a wheelchair like John Erickson Tata, and what's going on in his life. And he hosts that Disciple magazine, and along with Dr. James Banks, who teaches on prayer, and myself, I teach on spiritual warfare. And so, when, you know, when I heard sort of the spirit printing, I was thinking, there's no doubt I have a little understanding of what it is you're about there.
You deal with spiritual warfare. Well, that's a topic that I find fascinating. I've read a lot of books about spiritual warfare. Some that are kind of questionable. People, their experiences that they've related in the books have been brought up that they were being a little deceptive in what they were saying, that they really had not gone through those experiences. Like the name Rebecca Brown mean anything to you?
No, but I'm interested.
I can't remember the title of her book. She claimed to have these experiences with demons and witches and stuff. And after, you know, people bought her book like hotcakes, you know, then people were finding out that she was making some of it up. So I've always been kind of skeptical, you know, and I know that spiritual warfare, he came to set the captives free. Prepare for War was another one she did. But there's, you know, it just discourages me so much when, you know, you find somebody that's got these stories, these testimonies, and then it turns out that they might not be true. It just kind of dilutes the gospel to me. There was a guy from Brazil who my pastor had told me about. So I started to kind of study him on the internet, and he supposedly was a kind of a Down syndrome person. But he graduated from college. He claimed that God had healed him from, I guess maybe he can suffered from Mongolism or something, Mongoloidism. He claimed that he had been healed from that. The only person who had ever been healed, and he had some stories and stuff. And then it turned out that he had made some of it up, and he stepped down from the church and the whole nine yards. And it's like, oh my gosh, that kind of stuff. Those people I know, they understand. They're trying to build people's faith, perhaps, in bringing their testimony. But when they bring a false testimony, it helps destroy people's faith. They say, well, then they discount other people's genuine, authentic testimonies. So you have to be really careful to understand that the devil is going to use people, even in the world of Christianity, to undermine other people's, you know, witness and faith. So you have to, what I discovered is, you know, I need to take things with a little bit of a grain of salt when I read stories about people's experiences with spiritual warfare. But I know without a doubt that there are demons, there is a devil, and his plan is to destroy the human race, and he's doing it in a whole lot of different ways.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaker. It's like I was researching a guest this week, and he had written a book on hell and referenced this project in Siberia where they tunnel down into the earth, and the scientists, according to some reports, had heard these voices screaming from this hole, and the scientists at the project, because they were terrified and all that, and when you scoped all that out, it wasn't completely accurate. And so his book, which had a lot of scholarship in it, all this, you can see the work that he went into it, but because he hadn't been careful to study the original story that he based his book on, it lost all its validity, and there was no place to go with it, and you're like, man, there was a lot of stuff in there that had value, but because of the lack of validity of the main idea, you know, everything else got washed away. And I think that's all the more reason that we have to be very, very careful to try to be accurate and try to make sure that when we get on the air or we're teaching or wherever we are, if we're doing a movie, that what we're representing is as factual as we can ascertain.
Absolutely. You know, there's another side to that coin, too, is that the devil is going to try to discount anything that's true, and so there will be false accusations leveled against people that they are telling lies when they really are telling the truth. So it's such a dilemma to try to figure
really
out
is.
What is truth.
So, and when you work for the Truth Network, you know, we have that discussion all the time, like, well, now we are the Truth Network, so we need to be really careful here, because we're putting a standard out there that's is a little bit hard to match up with, because, you know, when you and just as a point of interest, the owner of Truth Broadcasting, Stu Epperson, he went to John MacArthur's college. I mean, he went to the Master's College, and he's good friends with John MacArthur, but he's also wonderful friends with Dr. Brown. Well, in between there somewhere, you know, somebody's theology isn't exactly right, but Sue would be the first person to tell you, you have to agree on certain doctrine that you know is absolutely basic to the faith.
Yeah, the problem I found with John MacArthur is that, you know, it's one thing to say, I'm not going to embrace the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe that they're valid for this time frame anymore. That's fine. That's his prerogative. But for him to say that the problems of the world are caused by the charismatics, because and sometimes, and I'm not going to say that there's not a problem there with some people going overboard. My pastor always used to warn against the Holy Spirit junkies. So some people that they get so focused on the experience that they get their eyes off of Christ. But you can't because people are involved in casting out demons or healing or something like that, you can't accuse them of being the source of all the problems of the world without causing a rift of some type.
Yeah, I heard a wonderful old saying this week from a friend of mine, Ann Alt, whose book is High from the Sky from Hadley After Ever. She quoted this old saying that if you rely on nothing but the Word of God, you dry up. And if you rely on nothing but the Holy Spirit, then you blow up. But if you rely on both, then you grow up. I thought
that
was
pretty
cool.
Ann Alt, a friend of mine as well.
Isn't she wonderful?
She, in fact, she wrote to me after I had been on your show and said that she'd heard the broadcast. So I ended up reading a script that she had written, and she ended up watching one of my movies as a result of me being on your show, because I hadn't talked to her for a while. I met her at the Gideon Film Festival. Actually, I met her online before that, but it's a small world. God brings us together.
That's true.
Your show is live from radio stations, but it's something that you can archive to the internet, right? So people can go in and listen to it anytime they want to, correct?
Yeah. Well, the Christian Car Guy Show airs at 10 o'clock Eastern, and it is live on the Truth Radio Network, or they actually can get the stream either with the Truth Network app, or if they go to ChristianCarGuy.com, you can get the live stream. But then there's podcasts available through iTunes or through the website where you can download any of the shows at any particular time. Kingdom Pursuits, which comes on right after that, is exactly the same in that it streams and it's live at kingdompursuits.com, and then it is podcast afterwards too.
So you have a lot of guests on. You said you focus on spiritual warfare. Do you have a lot of guests that come on that deal with that?
Oh, well, the Kingdom Pursuits is the show you were on, and Christian Car Guy was another show. The show where I deal with spiritual warfare is Disciple Magazine, and there I host a thing. It's called A Battle to Fight, and actually that's a teaching I do, and it's only about 5 minutes, so that isn't...
Okay.
That particular one I don't get guests for.
Okay.
And what I teach on, I don't have to worry about whether or not it's valid, because essentially I just go from the scriptures and actually use scripture to interpret scripture when it comes to like the full armor of God and you know what it means to have your feet fitted by the gospel of peace and those kind of things.
Amen.
Well,
we got
a
couple
of minutes.
Yeah. We have a couple of minutes left, Rob. Is there anything else that you'd like to say while you've got the opportunity to do so?
Well, the other radio show that I'm involved is called The Masculine Journey, which has a lot to do with men finding the role that, you know, God had for us, and realizing that, you know, that's a really cool place when you see men step up like in Gramps' shoes. You could see there was a masculine part of that only a man can kind of give manhood to a boy. So as you brought that 16-year-old up through that, in that situation, his mother just was in a position to do some of the stuff that Gramps could do. And so we deal with that in The Masculine Journey. That's also a wonderful radio show that comes on the Truth Network on Saturdays. So we have all those shows, which are, again, Christian Car Guy, Kingdom Pursuits, Masculine Journey, and Disciple Magazine. And all of those have websites that match the names of the shows. And all of them are available at Truth Network, or Truth Network app on your iPhone. And, of course, you know, any time that somebody has anything that they feel like they would love to join in as a guest or know a guest or something that I can see where God's using them, I'd love to. It's one of my favorite things in life is to see how God is working through somebody. And if I can show that off in any way, shape, or form, it seems like God's really blessed me to be able to be in have platforms to do that.
Amen. Well, Robbie, I want to thank you for spending 45 minutes here with us, and hopefully our listeners will check out the Truth Network, especially all the shows that you're involved with and the magazine you're talking about. And I just pray that your wife, I understand you're in the hospital with your wife right now, I just pray right now, Father God, just touch her body and restore her to perfect health right now in the name of Jesus, we pray. And watch
Amen.
Over Robbie, protect him, Father, from the evil one as he brings your truth to the radio waves of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Robbie. Talk to you soon.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Have fun.
All right. God bless.
Thanks.